Great Commission applies to you too. Okay? It's not exclusive to missions. We share it with you with missions. And so that's what we're going to do. We have prayer cards up here. We have new prayer cards if you would like one. Help yourself. We have newsletters if you would like to get it. You can get it by email, or you can go to our website and pick it up. Would there be any way we could kill some of these lights up here without everybody being in the dark? Does anybody know how to do that? Robert knows how to do that. We're in good shape. I'm going to stand where I can see it, and I don't want to disappear from you over here. There we go. We work with EMU International, and we are ambassadors for Christ and those who serve him. And we have a website. You can go there and look at all of the missionaries that we have, all of our national missionaries in Uruguay, and all of our works and ministries. That's good, Robert. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Around the world. And if you would like to sign up for our newsletter online, you can do that as well. Going to the website and then look at contacts, and you can sign up there if you would like. It's real easy, emuinternational.org. This is our mission director, Ken Jensen, and his wife are in head of the mission. Steve Erkins is going to be our new director come this summer, Lord willing. Our present director has major physical issues that make it almost impossible for him to carry on the ministry there. These are our board members and their wives, and we thank the Lord for them. This is, I guess that's us. We live in Asheville, North Carolina area, north and west of Asheville, up in the mountains. You know what it's like to live in the mountains, right? And that's our house. Every once in a while, we see it. I attended Bob Jones University, graduated from there, worked at Brooklyn Plantation, Grace Bible Church in Milton, Florida, Grace Baptist Church, Wilmington, North Carolina, Heritage Baptist Church, Barrie, Ontario, Canada, Flatwoods Baptist Church, south of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and worked with the mission from 2001 to 2015. And I've been in ministry now for about 50 years, and someday I'm going to learn how it's supposed to be done. Some people said, where have you been? So here it comes. We've been to Mexico. We've been to Chile twice. We've been to Uruguay twice. We've been to Peru. We've been to Croatia three times, China and Cambodia. Other than that, we don't go anywhere. Well, we've traveled all over the United States as well. We attend Grace Baptist Church in East Flat Rock, North Carolina. When we're home, our pastor is Jeff Hockey. This is his wife, Terry, and we thank the Lord for them. We visit Christian schools and colleges to recruit missionaries. That's the main thing that we're doing right now, is recruiting missionaries in churches like yours and Christian schools and colleges all over the United States. And so please pray for us, and we'll talk to you more about that in a moment. When we travel abroad, we are there for accountability for our people working on the fields of the world, that we know what they're doing. They're doing what they're supposed to do. We're also there. We preach in those churches that they have established. I use a translator, just so you know that I don't know any languages at all. I'm still trying to learn English, whatever language that is. We support our workers with prayer, counsel, and encouragement. We assist them with the training of nationals that they're working with to take over the churches. We help with construction and building maintenance on the field. If any of you guys might be interested in that, we go short term, usually 2 weeks. 6 weeks has been the maximum. And you can talk to me about that, and we can let you know when we have a project coming up. We also recruit people and missionaries for special projects that we have in the United States of America. We visit independent fundamental Baptist churches. We're looking for new missionaries. Notice the word recruiting. How many know what recruiting is? How many think that there's a military recruiting office in Boone? There is, isn't there? I hope so. If not, where do you have to go? Okay. The military has recruiting offices in different cities of the United States of America, and soldiers man those stations. Now, we don't usually think of them as the guys that are carrying the guns and running the tanks and flying planes or taking care of the ships, but, you know, recruiting is a big job too, and that's one of the major jobs that we're doing, is looking for new missionaries that God would send us some people to minister for him around the world. Please pray for us about that matter. We've done revival services in churches, helped with daily vacation Bible school, and done community visitation for churches. We're challenging churches to the task of missions, and we hope that you'll see that tonight. We're asking for prayer for God's work around the world. This is the city of Montevideo in Uruguay, and this is Ovidio Acevedo and his wife, Usada, and this is Gabi and Rosana Gomez, and they are key leaders in the country of Uruguay. We have three Christian camps. This is one of them, and we play games with the kids. We do hospital visitation. This is our missionary, Jose Kobolchuk, in a city called Durazno, and this is Hector Gomez, and he's one of five of our missionaries who have radio programs in Uruguay. This is one of our churches in Uruguay. This church is in a city called San Fernando. You see the little fellow playing the piano? You don't like that kind of piano? That's the kind of piano. I know it's not a piano, okay? But he was doing the accompaniment for the church services. This Matias and Christine Espinel, and they went to start a Bible college for us, and it will start its second term in March of this year. And Christina is due a new baby within a month or so. This is John Mark and Deborah Steele. They're also there for our Bible college. If you know of anybody who would be interested in teaching at a Bible college in another country, please let me know. We're looking for someone to help with that particular project. We have people in Chile. This is Tom and Connie Chapman. They're in a city called Antofagasta. This is one of the Salvatero brothers, and they will be beginning to take over the ministry there within the month. Within this month, Jan teaches children's classes in different countries and ladies' Bible studies as well. We have people in Peru in the city of Lima. This is Tim and Cheryl Chapman. And we were with them when they were in a jungle city called Iquitos. They work with national pastors all over the place. We had a full house, and outside the house it was full, and outside of the courtyard it was full, and we had a bunch. The people there live on the Amazon River. They build houses that are actually floating on the river, and sometimes they have stakes, and they still get around with dugout canoes. Little boys ask me this question, so this is to answer the question for little boys. Are there snakes there? Yes. This kind of snake is called an anaconda, and you don't want to hug him, because if he starts hugging you back, you're in big trouble. We have people in Mexico, and we're working primarily the Yucatan Peninsula area. Our base church is in Cancun. This is Marco and Gwendolyn Nunez, and we have lots of boys and girls there as well. Jan went with the ladies for café de leche and pan, that means coffee and bread, at a restaurant, and these are some of the nationals that we've helped to train when we were there. When you go door-to-door visitation, two of our families live in this kind of housing. One of the families lives here, one of the families lives here. This is Gwendolyn and Jan. And Gwendolyn and Jan was helping Karina with a Bible lesson that Jan has for boys and girls. This is one of the places where we did electrical work. They had one outlet in the whole house and basically no electricity. And so we helped to install that and grounded the system so that it didn't bite them whenever they went to turn on the switch. Koprivnica, this is the Adriatic Sea. This is Italy. The yellow part is Croatia, and our people are in Koprivnica. And this is Cornel and Tanya and their family, and we've been with them three times. And this is First Baptist Church in Koprivnica, and these are the people who attend church there. We helped them. This is another project we did. When you buy a brand new house in Croatia, it looks like this inside and out. And whenever they have the doors in and the windows in, then it's a turnkey job as far as they're concerned. So we had three other people go over with us, and they helped us, and we finished the house in 2 weeks. This is a new kind of stove. How many know how a touchpad works? How many don't want to know how a touchpad works? Forget it. This works like a touchpad, okay? It has no controls. You just put your hand on it, and you want the burners to come on. You spread your fingers, and if you want them to be hotter, you spread them a little further. And you want to turn them off, you spread them a little closer, see? So this is Mario, and he's teaching Tanya how to work the stove. I use translators. Cornel translated for me while I preach. This is the neatest baptismal picture I've ever seen. one millionth of a second before you go underwater, you the pastor makes a big hole in the water with you, and then it covers you up, okay? We have people in the 1040 window, that's 10 degrees north of the equator to 40 degrees north of the equator from Africa to Vietnam, and this is what's called the 1040 window. Now where it says non-religious, it actually is communist, but I just downloaded the picture from the web and didn't change, or tried to change it, but I couldn't change it. This is the guy that does that, and I can't tell you his name because otherwise beheaded missionaries or burned missionaries are not very good, and I don't want that to happen to him. We have people in the Paris area. They're starting a Bible college, and again, if any of you might be interested in something like that, God called you there. We're not ready to start yet, but this is Tim and Ruth Bixby and their tribe, and Michael and Liz Cole and theirs and their team that are working there. Starting a church and then a Bible college. We have people in Cambodia in the city of Ban Lung up in that area. We have five couples. This is our lead man, J.D. Crowley and his wife, Kim. And this is a Tampuan church. When J.D. first went there, these people had never had a written language. He developed a written language for them, had it accepted by the government and eventually Bible translation. So we're working in that language. And he has 80 pastors that he's training for ministry that have house churches. And we thank the Lord for them. Jan and Kim had a Bible study with the ladies. This is Brian and Lydia Kane and their crew. And we installed a squatty potty. How many know what an outhouse is? How many aren't going to acknowledge that you know what one is? I know you know what they are. This is the outhouse without the house, okay? This church speaks a language called Krung, and Brian is helping them to get the Bible translated into their language. This is Dr. Jeremy and Bonnie Ruth Farmer, and they are going to be working with the Laotian people. This is Matt and Becky Hancock, and they are in language school as of March last year. This is Josh and Amy Jensen, and they are in language school as of July last year. Please help us as we pray that God will send forth laborers into his harvest. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Please pray for us. Safety in travel and health. Now, I was going to mention this morning, but I figured I'd mention it tonight. While we were in Cambodia, Jan brought home a souvenir. It was called a Cambodian fungus, and we're still trying to get rid of that thing, so you might pray for her about that. About 2 years ago, we found out she has a milk allergy as well, and we're trying to learn how to live with that, and so please pray the Lord will help us with those particular issues. Other than that, we've been pretty well, and we thank the Lord for that. We travel all over the United States to present and have meetings all over there. We have 32 meetings scheduled for this year. Please pray for our regular support. Some churches have dropped us. Some churches no longer exist that used to support us. Please pray that God will help that to come back up some. Please pray that as I minister the word of God, that it will be effective. Please pray that God will give us new missionaries. This is our number one task, recruiting. And if any of you are interested in missions, please let me know. Short term or long term, wherever God calls you, we'll try to help get you there. We will get you there somehow. Please pray for us in foreign travel. How many of you have traveled abroad on an airplane? How do you like going through security? Please pray the Lord will help me to be patient as I go through security. Please pray for our own personal spiritual growth that the Lord will help us. And please pray for people that travel with us to help us with special projects, if you would please. Now, I've got a message that I'm going to preach, so don't turn anything on, and I'll switch it over. Aren't computers neat things? This message is about laborers together. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now the word husbandry means God's working in your garden. Amen. You know what it means to work in a garden? Okay. I don't ask that question in New York City because they have no clue what that means. There's things you have to do if you don't want the weeds to take over, right? And he said, ye are God's building. Now, the Bible uses another word for building that's the same word here, and it's edifying. We're building up. Edifice is the word. And God's working at building us up. But I want us to look primarily at this phrase, we are laborers together with God. Isn't that an awesome thing, a privilege that we have as God's children to be working with God, working for God to accomplish His will, His goals in this world? That is an awesome thing. God has privileged us and given us great responsibilities for that. You know, as you read through the books that Paul wrote, when you get to the end, there's a whole bunch of names there. You notice that, right? And you know what a lot of times we do, and I'm guilty just as much as anybody else, I'm like, okay, I don't know any of those people, and I just skip all those, and next book, chapter number one, verse number one, and I go on. But you know what? There's a lot of people who help Paul with a lot of work. A lot of times when we're talking to young people about missions, they say, do you believe in teamwork in missions? And I say, have you ever read any of the end of Paul's books? What do you think? And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, we do. It's about teamwork. Mount Lebanon Baptist Church is about teamwork. EMU is about teamwork. That's what it's about. All of the people in the world who have been saved are on God's team. Every one of us. And every one of us have a responsibility. It says we are laborers together with God. Now it says he that planteth and he that watereth are one. You know, I had a real problem with my garden last year. Maybe you could help me. You know, I didn't get any corn at all. What did I do wrong? Good. She said I didn't plant any corn. That's why I didn't get any corn. How many think that's kind of complicated? Okay. I didn't think you'd think that was complicated. You know, when it comes to sowing the seed of the Word of God, if we don't plant any, we're not going to get anything. You understand that? If my garden didn't grow any corn, I didn't plant any. Well, what did I expect? So if I don't plant any of the seed of the Word of God, and I say, you know what, nobody's getting saved. Did you plant any seed? Well, no. Well, what do you expect? And it says, and he that watereth are one. In other words, these two people, the planter and the waterer, are trying to accomplish the same goal to get something to grow. Now, in our part of the world, most of the time, it rains. That's neat. We were in California last summer, and here's the San Joaquin Valley. It doesn't rain. But they have fantastic gardens and groves of every kind of tree you can imagine. You know how that happens? Somebody waters. It's called irrigation. And a lot of the world grows things with irrigation. Now, if I'm in a place and I'm planting the seed of the Word of God, and maybe it needs to be watered. Maybe you're going to come along and water it. Maybe you've planted and I'm going to come along and water. Guess what? We're accomplishing the same thing. We're working together. The harvest is our concern. That's what it's about. One purpose and goal is starting churches and edifying. Here's that word that the Bible uses, and it means to build people up. This morning service was to build you up. If you missed it, you were here, wasn't? You know, well, we're not going to go there. The Bible says each man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Please listen carefully. Please don't get me wrong, okay? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I get saved because Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He purchased salvation with his blood, and it is a gift of God. I can't buy it. I can't work for it. I don't work to keep it. It is free. It is an unspeakable gift. It is an unimaginably precious gift. But after I'm saved, God expects me to do something. Why is it that the early church that said of them, they turned the world upside down, you know? Why did they turn it upside down? Because they had a passion about that. They wanted people to have it. And it didn't make any difference to them what it cost. And they loved not their life unto the death. Because they wanted people to get it. God does not have a welfare program. Someday, each one of us will stand before the Bema Seat judgment. And God will either say, "What in the world did you do with what I gave you?" Or he's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. And if you didn't do anything in this church, you're not going to get anything. There's something for you to do here besides just appear. There's work to be done. There's people to be invited. There's seed to be planted. There's seed to be watered. God does not have a welfare system where you get paid whether you do anything or not. Amen. And the reason we do that, we're going to get to in a minute. We get paid when we work. God's people have a work ethic about God's work because we're laboring together with God. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but notice the last phrase, but God that giveth the increase. When we've done what we can do, here's what we can do. We can plant the seed. We can water the seed. And then God's going to come in and make things grow. You see, we're laboring together with God. And the most important aspect of this is God at work. And when we're doing what he told us to do in obedience to his word and his Holy Spirit, then things are going to happen. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. God gave us responsibility. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth what? Laborers into his harvest. There was a harvest in the Boone, North Carolina area. There's a harvest in North Carolina. There's a harvest in the United States of America. There's a harvest in every country around the world. And we need people getting into the harvest. It is our duty. It is our responsibility. It was given to us by God with our salvation. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's what church is about. That's what missions is about. That's step number one. We have to plant the seed. We have to pray that it will come to fruition. We may have to water it. God will give it the increase. But it's what it's about. It is our mission. It is our duty. Paul had a lot of helpers, and I'm not going to name the helpers. I used to do that, but then it was rather long. But I'm just going to call them the names that Paul called them, okay? They were called fellow prisoners, work fellows, yoke fellows, fellow laborers, fellow workers, companion in labor. Now, if you look at all these names, you'll notice that there's a really one little four-letter word. Is it really a dirty word? I mean, it's a filthy word. That could describe all these kind of people. You know what it is? Work. Work. These people who are people worked with Paul. Wouldn't it have been fabulous to be able to have been here when Paul was here and for him to have said, why don't you come with me? We're going to Asia Minor. Wow. Just think of the reward in heaven. Wow. So what's the difference whether Paul's here or Pastor Greer's here? What's the difference? Do you understand that? Were they working for Paul or working for God? Are you working for Pastor Greer or God? See? Is it Pastor Greer's work? Yeah, it's his work too. But he's doing it because it's God's work. You see, there's that dirty little four-letter word, work. And Christianity should have a lot of that. Aaron and Hur hold up Moses' hand for the victory. Moses went up on the mountain with Aaron and Hur, and Joshua's down in the valley fighting the Amalekites. And Moses holding up his hands to pray. Now, you don't have to hold up your hands to pray. You can if you wish. But we don't normally do that. But you can. It doesn't hurt a thing. But try holding them up there for a half an hour, 45 minutes. And after a while, your arms are like, whoa. And you're shaking them out to get the blood down to your fingertips. And while Moses was doing that, the Amalekites prevailed. So they jacked his hands up quick. And before long, they were down again. You know, it would have been real easy for those Aaron and Hur to say, you know, Moses is such a wimp. Why can't he keep his hands up for a little while? You know, well, why didn't he do more exercises in the gym, you know? I mean, what's wrong? Doesn't he realize that when he puts his hands down, we start losing the battle, people get killed? That's not what they did. You know what they did? They picked up his hands. And you know, sometimes, instead of criticizing leadership, maybe we need to pick up some hands, right? Because we're really on the same team, right? We're working for the same God. We want to see people one to the Lord. We want to see people build up in the faith. That's what it's about, isn't it? That's what it's about. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Why do we do this work? What is it about? Is it a job that we do and we're like, oh, I hate to do that. I hate to do that job. Why did God ask me to do that? Or is it a labor of love? God said, it is to be a labor of love. It's like, wow. You know, I've traveled all over the world and I've already told you about that, but you know, I can walk into a place where people don't understand me. I don't understand them unless I have a translator. They can tell whether I love them or not. Isn't that amazing? You know what? You can tell if people love you or not. Or they're just tolerating you. You know, or they're just like, I wish they'd drop off the end of the earth so I don't even have to look at them. Jesus said, hereby shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye what? Love one another. It is the brand mark of a child of God. We work motivated by love. Paul said that. For the love of Christ, what? Constraineth me. It means drives them. Jesus had those who helped him by supplying money for him and his disciples. The passage is actually Luke 1, 8, 1 through 3. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women of them, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, notice the next phrase, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Who paid the bills for Jesus? Did you ever wonder about that? The disciples that were fishermen left the job. Matthew, who was a tax collector, left the job. Well, you're walking around all over the country, the nation of Israel, sharing the gospel with people and preaching, and you've got 13 people to take care of. They have to eat, they have to take a place to sleep, they have to have their bills paid. There were some people that were paying the bills for Jesus. And you know, when you give to your church, please listen carefully, you're paying the bills for Jesus. When you give to your missions program, you're paying the bills for Jesus. Amen. It's still his work. And that's part of the work that we have to do if we want the gospel to go out. I have one illustration and I'm done. On the aircraft carrier Kitty Hawk, there are 85 aircraft and 5,600 people on board, many of which never see other parts of the ship where they do not live and work. The ship on the right is Kitty Hawk, docked in Pearl Harbor. The 85 airplanes are the firepower of the ship. And the job of the ship is to deliver the air power wherever it's needed. This is a real event that occurred during the Vietnam War that I'm going to tell you about. On board ship, you have people that hold flags like this, and they let the pilot flying in know whether he's level or whether his wing is down, because if he comes in with a wing down, he's not going to stop on the jet. There's people that have to refuel the planes. There's people that load ordnances. There are people that load planes. There's people that take care of the things that the ship needs to continue to move. There's the captain of the ship and the people that work in the kitchen. There's the guy that packs parachutes and down in the bottom of the ship. There's all kinds of jobs that need to be done. This is Kitty Hawk underway, being refueled at sea. And there was a guy flying off of Kitty Hawk, and he was a fighter pilot, and his name is Charles Plum. And Charles Plum, while he was flying off of Kitty Hawk over Vietnam, you take off from the ship, and you go out to take care of your mission. And while he was out taking care of his mission, his plane was shot and caught on fire. When that happens, there's a button there on the dash, and you smack that button, and it kicks the canopy off. And a few seconds later, it kicks the seat out with your seat still fastened to the seat of the plane. You release the seat of the plane, and you have on your chest some rings up here, and they operate a parachute. Well, Charles Plum pulled the ring, and the parachute opened, and he landed in the ground, and was captured and was a prisoner of war until the hostilities ceased. When the hostilities ceased, Charles Plum came back to the United States, and he was sitting in a restaurant one day, and a fella came up to him and he said, "I know who you are." He said, "You're Charles Plum." And he said, "How did you know that?" He said, "You were a fighter pilot on Kitty Hawk." Charles Plum said, "How did you know that?" He said, "You were shot down." Charles Plum said, "Yeah, how'd you know that?" And then Charles Plum realized something, that this guy had to have been on Kitty Hawk too. So he said to him, "Well, what did you do on Kitty Hawk?" I packed your parachute. Little job, right? Doesn't amount to anything. It's insignificant. You know, it's sort of like in a church, you know, somebody has to change light bulbs. You ever notice when one's burnt out? Somebody has to clean the building. Somebody has to clean toilets. Somebody has to run the sound system. I appreciate that young man. He helped me tonight. Somebody has to work in the nursery and change diapers. I've never done that, but I'm glad somebody does, you know. You know, a lot of times we may look at a job and it may seem little to us and insignificant, but maybe it's sort of like packing a parachute for a fighter pilot. Do you think Charles Plum appreciated that guy? If it were me, I'd appreciate it. I'd go, wow. Because the guy said to him that packed his parachute, he said, I guess it worked. And he said, it sure did, and I sure do thank you for that. God has tons of jobs to do. Some of them may seem more important than others, but all of them need to be done. And we need to join the team of those who are laboring together with God in this church and around the world in missions, who are serving Him, doing our duty, because the mission is still the mission. God's not going to change it. Amen. He's not going to change it. He does not excuse you from your duty. He does not excuse me from my duty. All you have to know is, God, what do you want me to do? And with love, jump in and do it, Pastor. Thank you, Robert.